Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Art of Peace, a podcast bringing peace to your neighborhood through the airwaves, powered by the International Peace Youth Group. Here at The Art of Peace, we aim to create a platform where we can have discussions with people from different backgrounds and organizations to help foster mutual understanding and promote activities that are building sustainable peace in our communities. Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to The Art of Peace. Today is our third installment of our series where we've been diving into each lesson of HWPL's Peace Education Curriculum. So this is so that we can understand some of the key points about how it works and hopefully also pick up some useful things that we can put into action for ourselves. Before we begin, however, today I'm actually joined by a very special guest. I know I say that every week, but he is a dear friend of mine and a fellow worker in the peace work here in New Zealand. Dwayne, how's it going, man? Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Matt. Thank you so much for having me on. I've been looking forward to this, and I've heard only good things about this podcast, this radio show. So I'm really interested in what we have to discuss today.
Oh, you flatter me. You flatter me. It's so good to have you, man. Before we begin, how about you tell us a bit about yourself and how you got involved with HWPL?
Sure. Yeah. So I have been involved in HWPL for about 3 years, and it's mainly been as part of the WARP office. So I'll give you a little bit of an introduction as to what that is. So WARP stands for the World Alliance of Religions Peace Office. And within that, there's something called the Dialogue of Scriptures, which is a platform to discuss scriptures from different topics and different religious perspectives as well. So that's a little bit about what I do. And we have these on a monthly basis. And it's been, incredible to have it in New Zealand, in Auckland.
That's awesome, man. What sort of got you interested in the peace work and all that sort of stuff? Because I know for myself, when I first started, it was very much, to be honest, a pipe dream, you know, like peace, world peace, impossible, right? But that was one of the things that really got me about this peace work in particular, is that it's not just talking about it, but it's actually doing it on a very practical sense. So for yourself, what was it? What was the biggest thing that sort of got you into this peace work?
I think I'd grown up in an era where this ideal of peace was almost like fantasized. And I'd grown up in like a developing country in India, and there was so much religious discrimination and misunderstanding, even within people from the same country. And I really witnessed this growing up, and I heard about HWPL in my university days and decided to go along to a peace walk, one of the events that HWPL has or had in the pre-COVID days.
Yeah, true that, eh?
And that's what got me excited to actually hear that peace was being a reality, and the work of peace is actually something that's going on in even in New Zealand. And it was something that I could be involved in some way. And I heard about and attended the WARP office and really took an interest and felt like I could contribute and be a part of it. So that's how I got here.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that, man. Really appreciate it. And it's good to, you know, hear these stories about how people get involved or have gotten involved in this and share a bit about that passion behind it. I really love listening to it, and hopefully the people listening at home or on the road do as well. So just to recap our lesson last week, Emily walked us through the second lesson of the HWPL Peace Education Curriculum. This one was titled A Reason for All Creation Living in Harmony. Basically, we were looking at how everything in nature is able to live in harmony, and how this is something that we can learn as well to create peace among ourselves and in our communities. Mm. So today we're here to talk about the next lesson, and we'll be continuing our venture through the HWPL Peace curriculum. Dwayne, could you tell us a bit about what we'll be looking at today?
Yes, sure thing. So today we'll be looking at the third lesson of the Peace Education curriculum and unpacking the topic of what broke peace in the world of humankind.
Awesome. Looking forward to that.
So this lesson looks at the relationship between peace and order, and how this order has essentially been disrupted, causing issues such as conflicts and war. So in order for us to understand how to go about establishing peace, we must first look at what disrupted order in the first place.
That sounds great. Just to clarify, when you mention the relationship between peace and order, what do you mean by this? Could you unpack it for us just a little bit more?
Yeah, great question. So to give you an example that might help, imagine if there was a world where drivers didn't follow the road rules. Now, I don't know about you, but I've lived in countries where that's been the case, and it can be quite horrific or scary.
Yep, I've done some traveling, and I can testify to that as well.
So, yeah, I'm sure you would have seen a lot of confusion, congestion, and actually it really increases the risk of casualties. But it wouldn't just end with traffic accidents and disorder, but major conflicts and disputes would actually rise from the inability to simply follow the road rules, you know, get anywhere or do anything on time. And it would really create a state of disorder. And peace can't take root in this kind of disorder. So in order to maintain peace on the road rules are there for that reason.
That makes a lot of sense. You also mentioned earlier that disorder is something that caused issues on a much larger scale, these issues being stuff such as war. Could you talk more to this point? What is the correlation between disorder and war?
Yeah, so if we look at small scale, you know, communities or even going bigger than that, cities and countries, they all have their own laws. And if individuals or groups decide to break these laws, there will be consequences and they will be held accountable for what they did. So these rules create order to some extent. For example, if I stole your car right now, right?
Yep.
Bit of a petty crime.
Just a bit of cheeky crime, it's okay.
Yeah, I'm sure I'd be cheekily thrown into jail as well as a result of that.
Most likely.
And, you know, there is the consequence of my action. But what happens if there was no order, there were no laws, and I got away with that scot-free?
There'd be anarchy and chaos and that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And there would be no guarantee for safety of you know, our families or organizations. We'd really have a lot of chaos happening, and we'd have to just be sort of hostile to people around our close circle. It would be like a dog-eat-dog world. And actually, unfortunately, this happens in a lot of places where there is no order. It's very hard to maintain peace. So this actually happens on an international level too. There is international order of sorts, and we call this international law. But unfortunately, it's not set in stone, and it's very hard to legally enforce if one country wants to break it.
Mm.
So I'll give you an example. In the Second World War, Germany disrupted the international order by deciding to invade Poland so they could get some land for themselves or something. There was no legal system at that time, so other countries, in order to have a say on the actions of Germany, they either joined their side or opposed them. So it was just a matter of choosing which side you fought on. And the end result of this was a war, which killed or injured around 73 million people.
Mm.
And now we have the United Nations and the International Criminal Court. But let's say if Matt Topia wanted to invade, you know, New Dwayneland and take its resources, there's not really much to stop them. So New Dwayneland might have to build up its own army, which causes Mattopia to then build up, you know, its own army, and you can see so on and so forth what could escalate from the situation. So whether it's at a local level or the international level, it's very hard to have peace without order.
So then, if the real issue then is disorder, what caused this disorder in the first place?
Actually, great question, and we'll be looking at that today. The title of today's lesson, Lesson 3, is What Broke Peace in the World of Humankind? And it's a huge topic, but the answer isn't as complex as you'd think. Because when you look into the cause of conflicts, you will almost always find a simple commonality, and that will be excessive greed. And I'm not talking about just greed as in small degrees of greed, but greed as in a state of mind that desires to overindulge regardless of the consequences.
That's not actually that surprising at all. I mean, greed is everywhere, you know, we see it every day, and it's actually almost inescapable in our day and age. And we can see that, you know, whether it be the latest iPhone or new Nike shoes or, you know, brand new car, all of these things that we don't necessarily need, but we trick ourselves into thinking that, oh man, I must have this, you know, like I must have this newest thing. And everyone, to some degree, is driven by that desire to indulge, myself included. And that's probably the scariest thing, is that actually this is something that is really normal.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of scary that it is really normal, but it's not something that's new to mankind. It's actually been marked throughout history.
That's really fair, actually. I know, as somebody who really enjoys studying history and looking at many different things over, you know, the thousands of years of human history that we have, greed is probably one of the biggest causes of international, in quotation marks, conflict. In ancient times, when people wanted to expand their power, they did that through land. They were greedy, they wanted more, and so they would take that. And, you know, even in, you know, the example you mentioned earlier in World War II, that was the same thing. That greed to have more than what we already have. Mm. And there were obviously other reasons as well. And, you know, we're not necessarily going to go into all of those reasons around World War II. This isn't a a show about World War II. It's a show about peace and whatnot. But that greed is something that is really common, particularly on the international level. We see it all the time. And I'm sure if we look at a lot of the conflicts today, I'm sure greed is one of the biggest causes or biggest reasons for these conflicts when we get down to the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just from my experience with, let's say, religious leaders or being interested in different religious scriptures, the idea to not pursue greed has been referenced in various different scriptures. And I've got a few quotes, actually, that I've sort of picked up along the way. Would it be okay if I read them?
Yeah, please, you know, definitely share that.
So in Hinduism, from the Upanishads, which is one like category of the Vedic text, it says, "Therefore, find your enjoyment in renunciation. Do not covet what belongs to others." And similarly, in the Bible, the scripture for Christianity, there's an excerpt that reads, "After desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death." And actually, we see in the Quran, which is the scripture for the Islamic faith, it reads, "Follow not the lusts of your heart, lest ye swerve, and as ye distort, or decline to do justice. Verily, Allah is well acquainted with all that ye do." So we can see that, yeah, it's a common thread throughout religious scripture as well.
That's awesome. I think that's a really good place for us to pause, put a pin in this, and come back to how we can resolve these issues. What is the antidote to greed? But before that, we're going to break to a song. Can you take any guesses, Dwayne, of what song we might be doing? And would it perchance have anything to do with what is to come?
I'm not sure, but all I know is that all you need is love.
Well, that seems quite fitting, because that is exactly the song that we will be playing. So up now we have All You Need Is Love by The Beatles.
Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time. It's easy.
Welcome back. What a great song that is. So, jumping right back into this, how do we resolve these issues that we spoke about before? Earlier, we spoke about disorder, we spoke about greed. How do we resolve these issues? What is the antidote? What is the antidote to greed?
Yeah, so, well, as the song says, all you need is love.
How fitting, considering we literally just played that song.
Yeah. So, you know, like, all of humanity is one family on Earth, right? We're on the same ship. Any issue, really, at the end of the day, it affects all of us. And that's why you could say it's considered to be a global village.
Yeah, I really like that phrase, you know, the global village, because there's so much that links us together, you know? We're much more... I mean, you know, Auckland's a really great example of this, and as I'm sure you'll agree, we have so many different cultures and groups of different people from all over the world and different walks of life. You know, to me, Auckland really gives me a really great image of what this global village is like on a small scale. And as you say, that is the same on a larger scale too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just like... we see war has implications all around the world. Well, you know what? The good news is that peace can have the same effect. So, you know, starting a peace movement can have a wide effect around the whole world. And so if we think about it as well, right, like just like the song says, all you need is love. Right, more specifically, what sort of love is needed? Now, it's probably not going to be the romantic feelings kind of love, but
what,
more so...
That's not going to solve world peace, what?
I mean, there's one day for it. There's a free hug day, I think. But what we need to have is, you know, a sense of community, sort of like a selfless love for one another. And, you know, the word love itself actually carries many meanings, like thanks and thoughtfulness, sacrifice, forgiveness, tolerance, you know, the list goes on. There's many synonyms for it. And all of these are actually characteristics of peace. And these can be the solution to overcome greed that we talked about earlier. And love allows people to be more than just narrow-minded and selfish. Actually, when we communicate and we talk about our own experiences, we also help one another to understand from each other's perspectives. And this is something I've really come to value through the Warp Office, actually hearing the different perspectives from the different religious leaders and the audience members who listen and learn something new from the dialogues.
That's really cool. And I was actually going to ask you about that. You know, I was thinking as you were sharing about this and how when we are sharing, you know, our stories and who we are, we get to know people a lot better, you know. But I know for myself, I remember once I was working on a construction site. I used to do construction back in the day. And there were a couple of guys on site who we didn't get along, me and them. And there hadn't been any particular reason for that. There had never been anything sort of conflicting between us, but we didn't get along. And it wasn't until one day at lunchtime when we were actually sitting down and we actually started talking that we actually started to get to know each other and we realized, hell, we actually have a lot more in common than not. Mm. And from that point onwards, you know, we were able to work really well and you know, have a lot of laughs and good times like that. It's really similar with all of humanity. what you were sharing earlier about Warp Office and your experiences around that, have you found this to be a common theme from the various dialogue of scriptures that you've had? Has it been a common thing for your audiences and attendees as well, and for yourself to have these experiences of, you know, sharing different stories, different views of ways of thinking, and for that to then help people to be a bit more open-minded about that sort of thing, or just open-minded in general, I guess, is sort of what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Throughout my experience, there have been many conversations where it's grown my understanding of a particular perspective that a religious leader had growing up, and it's helped me to understand something new. And yeah, I'm sure that, you know, having empathy and understanding of one another's perspectives is how we can grow towards a sense of community. And two quotes come to mind about this, particularly about, you know, love and kindness towards one another, and I'd like to share them.
Awesome, that'd be great.
So the first quote is from the Dalai Lama, and he says, "When seen from outer space, our beautiful planet has no national boundaries. We are all here on this planet, as it were, as tourists. None of us can live here forever. The longest we might live here is 100 years. So while we are here, we should try to have a good heart and to make something positive and useful of our lives."
That's really awesome. I love that quote. That's so cool.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really encouraging. And the second quote is from Mother Teresa. And she said, "All works of love are works of peace. Love cannot remain by itself. It has no meaning. Love has to be put into action, and that action is service."
I love that last one as well, because it's something that is practical. It's love as an action, not love as a word. You know, you're not just saying to people, "Oh, I really love you and care about you," but you're actually putting that into action. And I think that's something that, for myself, I try really hard to do that. And it's not easy by any stretch of the imagination. If you try to love unconditionally, it's really challenging. And not something that I am pro at, I would say, by any stretch of the imagination, but it's something that we all, as people, I believe, deep down, want to try and do.
Yeah, I really, you know, relate to you on that. It's something that I have to work on every day as well, and put in the effort to show love to the people around me.
So that pretty much sums up the lesson then, doesn't it? It talks about how we have this break has happened in the world, and how, you know, through disorder and greed, how the world has come to the state of being that it is now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then to follow on from that, it then talks to us and tells us about a solution, a practical solution. And I think that's something that I really like about these lessons most, is not just talking, but actually doing. So last week, Emily set us a challenge, and I'd like to set us another challenge this week, particularly focusing on what we have spoken about today. HWPL's peace education is something that is practical, that we put into action. And it doesn't matter how young or old somebody is, everyone can learn from this and put it into action. So like last week, we have a challenge for everyone. Look around yourself, and this applies for us too, Dwayne, so we also have to do this, you know, practice what we are saying.
Cool, man.
We have to. I would love to challenge people to look around yourself for ways to put love into action. So it could be in your home, it could be at school or uni, workplace, neighborhood, however, whatever. So once you've done this, then share your story on our Instagram. So for those of you that don't know, our Instagram is @theartofpeacenz on Instagram. I'm really good with the technology, guys. I'm really good with social media, I promise.
You're doing well, Matt. You're doing well. I feel quite old as well.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge. But let's try, you know, and do what we can. Last week's challenge was to reach out to somebody and, you know, even just have a phone call with them that we might someone that you may not necessarily have had a phone call with recently. And I did that. I called up my grandmother, who I haven't spoken to in a few months, sadly, but called her up and had a yarn and organizing to go out with her for brunch this weekend, which I'm really excited about.
Fantastic.
So I really encourage everyone to try. Put this love into action. So that does it for us this week on The Art of Peace. I look forward to hearing about everybody's stories of how they have gone to put love into action in their neighborhoods and in their communities. Thank you so much, Dwayne, for joining us this week. It was such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much, Matt. And I'm such a fan of your show, so it's been an absolute blast being on here and being able to have this conversation with you.
Oh, don't worry. We're going to get you in for more. I'm sure of that. So we'll be back again next week with lesson 4 from the HWPL Peace Education Curriculum. Thank you all for joining with us this week, and we look forward to seeing you all again next week.
You've been listening to The Art of Peace by IPYG. Special thanks to our Peace family at the International Peace Youth Group and Planet FM Public Access Radio who make this happen. To get involved with the peace work, or if you have any questions, you can hit us up at IPYGNZ on Instagram. Join us again next Monday at 9:05 or visit the Planet FM website under the Art of Peace page to listen anytime, anywhere. Until next time, peace out.
When I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. When I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. And then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes back. Oh. Born to a throne, stronger than Rome, a violent prone, poor people's own, but it's my own. We would roam out of the darkness. I came the farthest among the hardest survivors. Learn from these streets. It can be bleak. Accept no defeat. Surrender, retreat. So we struggle it, fighting to eat. And we wonder it, when we'll be free. So we patiently wait for that fateful day. It's not far away, but for now.